Mark Donnie again.
Good morning, and it's always a pleasure to be here. We always appreciate the invite. We always feel so blessed to come here and see all our friends and be with you in time of worship. And we hope what we do today will touch somebody.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I'm found, was blind. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace I first believe. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope, secure. He will, my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Thank you. We're doing communion today. This is one of my favorite songs. As we partake in communion, and as we drink the blood representation, I think about all the things that the Lord has given me and done for me. And this song is called Drinking from My Saucer.
I never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, reaping better than I've sown. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowing. Ain't got a lot of riches, sometime the going's rough, but I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. And I thank God for all His blessings on me, and the mercy He's bestowed. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowing. Oh, sure, I've been through some storms. And yes, there were times I know when my faith, well, it got a little thin. But it seemed like all at once those dark clouds broke, and that old sun started shining again. So Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough roads I've hoed. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. And if I should go on living, if the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy, oh Lord, to help another bear their load. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Yes, I'll keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed.
Hallelujah.
I can honestly say my cup is well overflowed. I got a lot more than I deserve, and I thank God every day for that. Amen. All right, Donnie, go ahead and get us one here.
All right. I'm so thankful for Thanksgiving. I ate too much turkey, too much chicken. See? But I'm going to just thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Y'all listen to the word. There's a roof up above me. I got a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've got a good place to sleep. Food on my table, shoes on my feet. Gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, it's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up, up, up. A good place to sleep. Food on my table, shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.
Next song, I tell you what, this has been a tough month. Got a friend of mine who lost his brother this month. Another friend of mine that I played music with, he lost his grandson this month. Of course, we lost James this month. It just seems like it's that time of, I don't know if I have to say it's that time of year, but it just seems like there's so many people that are passing on. And you know, we're going to miss them, but we rejoice, too, because we know they're in a lot better place than we are right now. I know a couple of those people are really suffering, so I know they're with the Lord, and so that's sad as it is. I want to dedicate this song to them, and it's something to remember that, just that even though they're leaving this world, they're going to a better place. And this is called Lord, Lead Me Home. Mm-hmm. I have seen my last tomorrow. I am whole in my last breath. Goodbye, sweet world of sorrow. My new life begins with death. I am standing on mountains. I can hear the angels' song. I am reaching over Jordan. Take my hand, Lord, lead me home. All my burdens are behind me. I have prayed my final prayer. Don't you cry over my body, 'cause that ain't me lying there. 'Cause I am standing on mountains. I can hear the angel's song. I am reaching over Jordan. Take my hand, Lord, lead me home. Yes, I am standing on mountain, and I can hear the angel's song. I am reaching over Jordan. Take my hand, Lord, lead me home. Take my hand, Lord, lead me
Always thank Donnie and Mark for coming and joining us, and we just appreciate y'all being here so much. Thank y'all for those songs. I just love to hear those songs that's got scripture. That drinking from a saucer is one of my favorite songs. You know, David said that the Lord has prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. He's anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows. He is talking about, you know, he was a shepherd boy who began in humble means and ended up going from the pasture to the palace. And in that psalm, you see that. He's like, no matter what is happening today, at the other end of the table, God is present with me. It don't matter if it's fear, if it's pain, if it's hurt, if it's sickness, but God is with me. And that is just a great, great blessing. And we appreciate y'all bringing that to us. And today, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, and I know you're usually used to hearing from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 or Matthew chapter 11. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 26. both of them, or where the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, or where Paul is explaining how that which he is sharing with the Corinthians is that which he received from the Lord on how to do the Lord's Supper. I've said this before, the Lord's Supper and baptism is the only two acts of worship that Jesus tells us how to do in the Bible. The rest of it, we do it to honor God. And as we're looking at this morning, though, we're going to look at chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 10, 1 Corinthians. In building up to what Paul is trying to tell the Corinthian church to do when they partake of the Lord's Supper, you can really go all the way back to chapter 1, because this is a letter that's to be read all at one time to the church. But from chapter 6, about verse 9 forward, Paul is addressing a lot of different issues. And there is these issues come to a head in chapter 10. He tells us here in chapter 10 that all the things that had happened in the Bible, in the Old Testament, all those things in there was looking forward to the promise that God had given his people for a Messiah. And all the things that happened in the New Testament, we're looking back to what the Messiah has done for us. Paul says, look, all these things have been given to you as an example. They're for us to learn from. Now, the problem is sin. Right? That's the problem. It's sin, it's unbelief, and mostly it's pride. Now, these sins in chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, can kind of be summed up by 1 John. It's the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of flesh. Now, there's one man who lived on this earth that was tempted with the pride of life, that was tempted with the lust of the eyes, and tempted with the lust of the flesh, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus was tempted in all things that we are, yet without sin. He turned Satan's very words back on Satan. He was not tempted to look out and see all the kingdoms of the earth and take them. He was not tempted to jump off the top of the temple and get up miraculously so all the people would see this and just come running to him because of this spectacle that he had done. And just because he was the Son of God, he didn't turn stones into bread, but he said, you must live not by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He's the only one. Now, Paul says here that all these Old Testament saints were tempted, but he says, look, in verse 13, he says, no temptation has overtaken you, which is not common to man. These are, all of us are tempted with human temptations, with things that we like. I was thinking about it yesterday, and I take that back. It was Black Friday. Mona and I was shopping, and I was seeing all the people doing things. The Bible always talks about to covet and greed. You know what covet is? You see something somebody else wants, and you want it. You know what greed is? You got something somebody else wants, and you don't want them to have it. And that's over and over. I was looking at something. It takes me a long time to make decisions sometimes, but if you're looking at something sometimes, you need to ask yourself, do I really need this? Does God really want me to have this? Now, here's a good question. If I get it, what am I going to do with it that God wants me to use it for? That usually will put a stop to your buying sometimes. Because you think about it, when you get it home, how's God going to use this for his glory, your good, or the good of someone else? See, I was really tempted. I'd made up my mind, kind of hadn't said much about it. My wife's going to get me a Christmas present, and I went in and I'm looking at it, but the salesman's like, oh, yeah, that's nice, but this one's nicer, but this is the nicest one. This is what I'd get if I could get anything I wanted. Two other men says, if my wife was going to do that, I wouldn't pass this by. You know what that done? That sent up all kinds of red flags, right? I ain't even had time to pray, and five people done told me what I ought to do. Let me tell you, when that goes to happening to you, you better pause. My daddy gave me some good advice when I was young. Believe it or not, I used to get in trouble sometimes. My daddy told me one time, before you do anything, stop and wait 30 minutes, right? Because, son, you just too impulsive. I'll never forget that. But this is what these folks did here when Paul is talking about this. He says, look, they was baptized into Moses, in the cloud, and into the sea. And he's not talking about baptism like we practice it now. He's talking about identification with the leader. That's when God led them out of Egypt, and the cloud was before them. The Egyptians is behind them. The sea's in front of them. They look back. They're panicking. The glory of God comes over and blocks the children of Israel from Egypt and parts the sea in front of them. And then Moses goes through. They go through with Moses under the cloud of God's glory through their worst fears. And God defeats their enemies behind you. David says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. In Psalm 23. Have you ever thought about what that means? When trouble is chasing after you, if you're trusting in God, when you look back, all you see is God's goodness is what's been following you. It's the goodness of God that's been stopping your fears. And what did they do? Well, they got delivered through the Red Sea, and then they run off with idols. The bulls of Egypt. Moses goes up on the mountain, and they like, where's he gone? He's been gone 40 days. He ain't coming back. Aaron, what we gonna do? Oh, have you ever thought about why that calf was like that? It's because it was of a bull of one of the idols of Egypt that they had been around the whole time they was in Egypt. So they built this idol, Aaron did, and it says they sat down to eat and they got up. They was just having a good time. But what are we going to do? We're going to worship the old things that used to have us in bondage. We're going to go back to our old ways. Also, they grumbled against Moses and Aaron, it tells us here in verse 10. What was they grumbling against? They got them some preachers that preach the stuff they like to hear. Paul says it this way to Timothy. He says, you better be careful. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season too. Rebuke, exhort, and train with patience and teaching. And he says, why? Because the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They'll gather to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. This is what they did. Hey, the priests offered strange sacrifice fire, and the people are going to follow after them and grumble because Moses and them's not giving them what they want, so God just strikes them down. Also, Paul says, look, all this is happened as an example for us, and they played the harlot. Balaam was called to curse God's people. And even being a bad prophet, he still realized, I cannot curse God's people if God's planning on blessing them. And he tells Balak that. I can't do what you want me to do. I know you paid me, but it don't matter. If I curse them, God is still going to bless them because God said he's going to bless his people. He says, so here's what you do. Get them to run around with the women in these pagan lands so they'll worship other gods. Isn't that what the world does to us? World can't stop God from blessing us, but it can surely lead us out of God's blessings. Today, we should be thankful not only that we're saved, but that the Holy Spirit draws us together to strengthen us and bring us back together to worship God and to come back under God's blessings. That's what the Lord's Supper is about. I want you to look what he says here in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, flee idolatry. Let us pray. Kind Father, I pray for just the next few minutes here, Lord, as we get ready to share in your table, that, Lord, we would just pause, that each person here would examine themselves, that, Lord, through your guiding, empowering, convicting Holy Spirit, we'd see ourselves as you see us. Any unpure thought, action, or attitude, we'd confess it before you, that you would remove the guilt, but also the habit from us that brought us into that situation. I pray that we leave here closer to you, closer to one another. Lord, that we would be empowered by the Spirit, equipped with your word and ready to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's the secret that Paul wants y'all to know this morning. You cannot share supper with Christ and dine with demons. We need to flee dining with demons. Paul says this, my beloved. He's talking about, look, this is the church he's planted in Corinth. He says, flee. You know what flee means? Run. Right? Have you ever seen anybody that thinks they've got on a snake? And some people are just terrified in how they will take off? This is what he said. Flee from idols. Anything that wants to separate you from God, your money, and your family, run from it. An idol is something that you set your heart and your trust on other than God. He says, flee from idols. So Paul says right here, he says, look, you cannot share supper with Christ and dine with the demons. Look what he says in verse 20. No, but I say these things with the Gentiles sacrifice. They sacrifice to demons. He's talking about fallen angels, some of the angels that are not held in bonds. He's talking about the spiritual principalities. He's talking about the devil's influences. They sacrifice to these demons and not to God. In other words, fake gods. Man-made carven images, man-made ideas of a savior. Any of that will fit into this idea of a demon putting forth something for you to worship other than God. Satan, all he's ever wanted to do was steal worship from God. And all Satan wants to do, if you're saved, guess what? You belong to God. You can't go nowhere. But all he's trying to do is interrupt your worship and praise of God to get you to praise something else. Well, probably you're not going to praise the devil. Believe it or not, he's not red with a tail and a little pitchfork. He's ugly, deceptive, and he's a liar and a murderer. So if you saw him, you'd probably run from him. But he gets all dressed up in something real nice, like a new car with the top dropped, right? And like, if I just had that, I'd be happy. Guess what? No, you're not, because the payment will come to you in 45 days. Whatever it might be in your life, that stuff eats you up. He says, look, don't worship that. Do you want to become sharers with demons? In other words, if these things that they're sacrificing, if you participate in them, look, you're participating in the things of the world, not the things of God. Verse 21, he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Here's it is. You cannot share supper with Christ, leave here, and dine with demons and live like the devil. If you recommit your life to Christ, if you say, Christ, thank you for dying for me. Christ, thank you for giving me a life. Guess what? You need to appreciate and live that life to the glory of God, not only in church when we dressed up, but outside when the tire goes flat, when the light bill can't be paid, when your whole family's hollering at you about something you don't even know how it happened. Whatever's going on in your life, you got to trust God right then. So let me back up and let's go to the Lord's Supper here and understand. We've got to understand we are sharing in the blood and the body. Say blood. Say body. Body of Christ. We know the body of Christ hung on the cross, but also you got to remember that the body of the Christ is the church. Say church. I want us to get this. We forget this. We get so, the world has trained us to be individualistic, to worry about me. How many times you heard somebody say, and this was a big deal probably 15 years ago, you got to get people to buy into the church. So it's got to be my church. It's got to be my ministry. It's got to be my piano playing. It's got to be my choir. It's got to be my music ministry. It's got to be my mowing team. My. Guess what? I is the middle letter in sin. It is our church, our body, our ministry. We're serving together because of who Christ is. Paul, when he fell on his knees on the way to Damascus, Jesus said, Paul, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? As believers, we all make up the body of Christ. Paul's talking about this in two chapters later. Guess what? Some of us might be an ugly little pinky toe. Some of us might be a pretty blue eye. Some of us might be a ear. Some of us might even be an ear that don't hear real well. Some of us might be hands. Hands that are clean, hands that are calloused. It don't matter. God uses all things together. As the body of Christ, we should not want to hurt one another. We should want to help someone, each other. Somebody told me this the other day. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know where they was going with it. I was talking about the body of Christ, and they said, yeah, it was this woman that went to a doctor. And she says, doctor, I just hurt all over. He says, where did you hurt? She says, well, it hurt right here when I touched my ear. Ow. And he says, is that the only place? No, my knee hurts. Ow. And he says, where else? And she says, well, I'm having a little problem with my throat right here too. Ow. And he says, well, let us do an examination. So they done the examination. Come to find out, the poor lady had a broke finger. As the body of Christ, we shouldn't want to hurt ourselves. As the body of Christ, if we are not wanting to build one another up, we are tearing each other down. We're the blood and the body of Christ. Look what Paul says here when he's talking about sharing. The word here is koinonia. Koinonia. It is the idea of fellowship. It is the idea of being together. It is the idea of us doing something together. He says, I want to speak to you in verse 15. You judge what I say. I want to speak to you as wise men. He says, I want to speak to you as people with common sense. Growing up, I used to hear this all the time. You got educated people, then you got people with common sense, right? So basically, if you lived in the country, you had common sense. If you lived in the city, you was educated. That's the way I kind of grew up hearing that. Guess what? That ain't exactly what Paul means here. When he says, I want to speak to you as wise men, he says, I want to speak to you as enlightened people. Oh, I'm enlightened. Say enlightened. Now, when y'all get home, y'all say, the preacher told me I was enlightened. You know what that means? The Holy Spirit has washed the dirt out of your mind and your heart, and he's poured Christ into it so you can see things like God can see them. And you say, Lord, help me stay away from the things you don't like and love the things you want to love. That's what it means to be wise. And Paul says, I want to speak to y'all a minute like y'all got some sense. Now y'all listen up. In verse 16, he says, is not the cup of blessing we bless. In other words, it's not the cup of this good word when we're talking about taking the Lord's Supper. Is it not the cup which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? This that we bless, to bless this cup. When we hold it up and give thanks, when we bless it, you know what we're doing? We are saying, and this here is kind of spread out, and it's translated into our English. It says, it's not this cup of blessing, the cup we bless in sharing. What it says is, it's not a good word. Good, meaning good, word that we speak about Jesus. It's what it's saying. When we talk about the blood of Christ, we're talking about the cup of redemption that they participated in the Passover. Do you know why God told the Israelites when they killed the sacrifice lamb, they would take the blood and put it on the doorpost so God would pass over them as the final plague come on Egypt? They was to bring the lamb into the house. And what did God say? Eat all of it tonight, your family. If it was more lamb than for your family, then another family would gather with you and y'all would share that lamb. But you eat it and you put the blood over the doorpost. Do you know why the blood needed to be over the doorpost? Guess what? God knew where all them people were. He knew where they lived. He knows your address. When they painted the blood over the doorpost, you know what they were saying? I'm trusting God's plan of salvation. And this is the only way I can be saved. When we talk about the blood of Christ, the cross of Christ, when we talk about sharing in the blood of Christ, we're talking about trusting that is one way to be saved from our sin, delivered from Satan and hell, and promised and carried into eternal life, and that is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who lived the life we should have lived, died the death we deserved, was buried, in 3 days raised again. He says, and is not this same sharing, this same koinonia, this same fellowship that we're doing, the body of Christ. twofold idea here. First of all, the sacrifices that they carried into the for the priest to carry into the tabernacle and sacrifice. The priest kept some, if you remember, and some went back with the family on the Passover, and they eat it. When you partake of that sacrifice of that lamb and you eat of that lamb, you know what you're doing? You're eating of the sacrifice that was made for you. When it says here that we are participating and sharing in the body of Christ, we're saying the broken body of Christ that was ripped, torn, beaten, pierced for my sins 2,000 years ago. It's the same thing as if I was there because he did that for me. And when I trust that his blood was shed for me, that his body was buried for me, then I have participated in a sacrifice for all my sins, and I am raised with Christ when he is raised. This is the cup of redemption, the third cup where they've hid the bread and the kids go find it and they come back. It's called a cup of redemption during the Passover. And it's the cup of redemption where you're thankful that you have been redeemed, you have been blessed, you have been brought back into the presence of God. This blood was shed for you. This body was given for you. You're eating all that sacrifice. You're taking that so that you are participating and it is as your own. And when they get ready to drink that cup, they would say, "Blessed be, O God, creator of all, who brings forth the bread from the ground." They'd say that during the Passover. When Christ implemented this into the Lord's Supper, what he's saying is, my blood is shed, my body was killed, and as the God brings forth the living bread from the ground, I will be raised up in 3 days. Have you ever thought about that? We are not only declaring his death and his burial, but also his resurrection. Paul says in chapter 11, as often as you eat or drink of this, you're proclaiming the Lord's death and resurrection until he returns. It is a gospel that we are preaching when we do this. Paul says that it is the cup of blessing we bless in the sharing of the blood and the body, and is not the bread which we break a sharing of the body of Christ. Verse 17, since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake, which is another form of this same word for fellowship, which we all partake of one bread. This is why a lot of times I like, if you remember, instead of the wafers that we've gone back to using because of COVID, I like to use a loaf of bread. When they're doing the Passover, everybody is sharing off that one loaf. They pass that one loaf down and break a piece off. Guess what? We're all one body of Christ. When we share in that body, we come together to be the hands and feet of Christ on this earth. Paul says that we are still filling up the suffering of Christ in our bodies. Like, how do you do that? He's already dead, buried, and resurrected. Because as his body on this earth will always be persecuted, taunted, talked about, will be in opposition, the devil will throw stumbling blocks. There will always be something that we're dealing with. But guess what? If we're trusting in God and his plan of salvation, we know where we're going to end up. And we know that God will never leave us or forsake us. That is the promises that they're claiming here when they're doing the Passover. And so I want you to remember when we do this today that we are sharing in the blood and the body of Christ. So it's not just that we've been forgiven. It's not just that we've got a new life, but we got a new life together. If you really want to be happy, the best way to understand God's definition of happiness is to understand enjoying God's goodness. God put us together for the good of each other. Did you know that if Pastor James wasn't here with me, my life wouldn't be as good as it could be? If my wife wasn't with me, my life wouldn't be as good as it could be? If Mark and Donnie hadn't joined us for this service today to sing with us, that our worship wouldn't be good as it could be? Did you know that's God's plan? He brings all us together. When y'all come into church and you say, good morning, how you doing? You ought to say, thank you for being here. I am happy. Guess what? My day's going to be better just because you're here. Now, when was the last time we did that? You know what? I heard this the other day, and I've been thinking about it, and I really thought that it was the media's fault we had become so negative. But I was wrong. Now, I don't admit that much, but I will this time. I heard someone say that we are a negative nation. All that Facebook did was let us hit post before we think about what we had said. When was the last time you was like, Lord, thank you for my blessings. Thank you for what you've given me. Lord, thank you today. Instead of complaining about everything we see. When we come to the Lord's table to share in it, what we're saying, Jesus is enough. I've drank the blood. I've eaten the bread. All that's left is for me to live. No matter what goes on around me, I'm going to be in the best situation I can because God is with me. That's what we're talking about here. So, you've heard this over and over when we do the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to just flip over here a minute and read something that Paul says to you in chapter 11. Verse 28, he says, a man must examine himself or a person, and in doing so, he is to eat the blood. He's to drink the blood and eat the bread. So how do we examine ourselves? You know, we always say this, bow your head, be real reverent, think about yourself. I want to give you some ways here that Paul's already told the Corinthians before he gets to chapter 11 and they get ready to partake in this. He says, first of all, does my actions and attitudes honor God? Everybody ought to memorize this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Here's what Paul says. If you're saved, verse 31, whether then you eat, drink, or whatever you do, it's all to the glory of God. What is the glory of God? That is his renown. That is his character. That is his holiness. Everything we do should be proclaiming how great our God is. In other words, you ask yourself this, is my attitude going to bring honor to God? Is my actions honoring God? If God was sitting in the back pew, would he be happy with the thoughts he was having this morning before church started? If God was at home watching TV, which he is in spirit, but I'm saying we don't ever think about this. Sometimes we think, God's so far off, we can do what we want to. Paul says, hey, are my actions and attitudes honoring God? And then you say, so what are some ways I need to do this? Well, does my actions and attitudes tear down or build up the body of Christ? When we come to this table, if you've got something against another believer, you need to let it go. If it's something that they've done and you want to talk about them, or if it's something you don't like about them, you need to go to them and help them make changes. You don't need to be tearing down. You need to be building up. You say, well, how do you know this? Well, verse 23, Paul says, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Now, this is another sermon. I can't get into all this about the sacrifices and pagan temples and all this stuff right now. But here's what he's saying. By the grace of God, I'm free to live to God, and I'm free to live in his grace. I can do what I want to, right? Long as it's not going against the Bible. But he says, guess what? I also, that's my right to be able to live with God. Now, we love, especially in the church, we love bylaws, right? I love it when people call me up and says, bylaw section 44, verse blah, 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 says this, this, and this, so that means I can do this, right? Anytime that starts, I know we're going to have problems. Here's the right you got. When you say, I got the right not to have to deal with that person. I got the right not to have to talk to that person. I've got the right not to have to be around that person. Or I've got the right to do this. I don't care if they have a problem with that. They might have a problem. They might be on a diet. That's all right. I can go to the buffet. If they can't handle the buffet, then they don't need to go with me. What Paul is saying here is, guess what? You got the right not to exercise your right. Something that you can deal with that don't hurt someone, that doesn't hinder someone else. It might be a problem for them. You need to look for their good. Here's what Paul is saying here, and summing up all the way from verse 14 to verse 33. Paul is saying, look, first thing you better do is bring glory to God and look at bringing good to the other people around you that are believers, and then look out for yourself. Guess what? If I am looking out for Carol and Carol's looking out for me, I don't have to worry about myself. She's looking after for my best interest. But we get so worried about looking after our own self-interest that we forget about God and everybody else around us. Paul says, look, when you come to the Lord's table, you need to ask, how am I honoring God? Am I honoring God by building up another believer? Am I honoring God by working together with the body, the local church that he's put me in? Are we all working together for the same purpose, to exalt Christ above everything else? That's what he's saying. So I want you to ask yourself this morning when we get ready to do the Lord's Supper, is my actions and attitude helping build up the body of Christ? Am I lifting up other believers? Sometimes this is as simple as calling somebody that's having a bad day and tell them, I've just been praying for you. If somebody says that, hey, can you pray for this? Stop and pray right then. You got time. I get so busy sometimes, people are giving me prayer requests, and a lot of times I just stop and pray right then for them. That's the best thing you can do. It helps build them up. It helps bring both of y'all into the presence of God. So actions and attitude. And does my actions and attitude hinder or help bring people to Jesus? Look at verse 32. Give no offense either to Jew or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, so that they may be saved. Here's what Paul's saying. Does my actions and attitude hinder somebody from coming to Christ, or does it bring people to Jesus, help bring them to Jesus? Did you know if you're professing to be a Christian, you might have the T-shirt that says, you know, I believe, or might say Christ died for me, or might be three crosses on it, and you walking around like that, and you living like the devil, that's hindering people from coming to God. If you leave church and go out and eat in a restaurant and have your whole church for lunch, that's hindering other people from wanting to come to church. Why should I go there? I can do that at home. The question is, are we helping bring people to Christ? Or are we inviting them to join us? Are we inviting them? Are we living in a way so they can see that our life is better because we have surrendered to the blood and the body of Jesus Christ? You know, the happiest you'll ever be is sharing Jesus with somebody, whether they accept him or not. I tried to witness my uncle ever since I got saved when I was 31 years old. And me and him had some good times, some up times, some down times. We worked together. We've done a lot of things together. You know, the conversation I'll remember most with him, 2 weeks before he died, me and Mona sat in his room, and I tried to talk to him about Jesus before, and he hung up on me. But politely, he'd be like, oh, I know, I got to go. And I asked him, I said, I got to know this. Whether you get mad at me or not. And I went through the plan of salvation. He said, I'd done that, and I pray every night. You know, that's one of the greatest reliefs I have when I preached his funeral just a few weeks later. When you share Christ with someone, you know that their life is going to be as good as it can be on this earth, no matter what's going on around them, but you know it's going to get better and better as they enter into eternity. So today, as we do this, I just want to ask you, are you hindering people, or are you helping them come to Jesus? because today, as we gather, I want you to remember that we cannot share supper with Jesus and dine with demons when we leave here. Let us pray. And kind Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we come before you now to partake of the Lord's table. And as we do, Lord, that you would ask us to ask ourselves these questions. Am I building up the body of Christ? Am I helping others so that our church can be everything you want it to be? Am I helping my family members grow in their relationship with you? Lord, am I helping others come to faith in you? Or, Lord, am I hindering them? Does my life look different during the week than it does on Sunday when I'm in church? Lord, help me live a life that will bring people to you. And then, Lord, whatever I do, in word, deed, whether I'm eating or drinking, whether I'm in church, at work, in a recreation atmosphere, whatever I'm doing, Lord, let me bring glory and honor to you. Lord, as we partake now, Lord, I ask that you'd cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1 John chapter 1, the Apostle John tells the church there that the only way to have fellowship with one another and fellowship with God is to confess your sins. That's verse 7 of chapter 1. Verse 9 says this, if you confess your sins, Jesus is faithful and righteous to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I love that. See, it's not enough just to ask Jesus to forgive you today. Whatever we asked in Jesus to forgive us for, we also asked in Jesus to help us not do that habit, hurt or hang up anymore. To leave it behind, to leave it here today when you leave here. I'm going to ask Brother James and Gilbert if they would come down, and Brother Mike. Brother James and Brother Gilbert are going to pass out the cup and the bread here in the sanctuary. Brother Mike is going to check on it out there. On the night before Jesus was betrayed, Scripture tells us that he took the bread and that he gave thanks for it. Brother James, would you give thanks for the bread and the cup?
Our Father in heaven, as we bow before you, we praise you for this opportunity to recognize, to understand, to partake, to be a part of, and to worship you. We praise you, Father, for these symbols of the body that was given by our Lord Jesus Christ. Blood that was shed on that cruel cross of Calvary, the price that was paid for our sins, and now by believing in that, receiving our Lord and Savior as our Savior, receiving Him into our heart and life, we have new life. We're a new creation in Christ. We're born again. We're headed toward heaven. We're going to be together with you one day. You said you'd come back and get us. You said when we see you, we'll be like you. And so we praise you for this great and wonderful opportunity. To remember that, to think about it, and you say it as often as we do it, we're showing forth you and what you did for us on the cross. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. you'll take that top piece off and get the wafer, the bread. On the night before Jesus was betrayed, he said, "This is my body, which is given for the many. Take, eat all of it in remembrance of me." Open your cup. It says, in the same manner that Jesus took the cup and giving thanks, let us pray. Kind Father, your word tells us that this is a cup of blessing, which we bless in the sharing of. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for loving us and giving yourself in our place. Scripture tells us that there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Lord, we thank you that by this blood we can trust that it cleanses us from all unrighteousness and gives us a new life with you. Thank you for that blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus says this is the cup of the new covenant, which is given for you. Take, drink all of it in remembrance of me. Paul says, as often as you do this, you proclaim the resurrection and the return of Christ. So remember when you leave here, you cannot share this supper that you have today and then go out and dine with demons. There's things of this world, just like was in Egypt, that God wants you to come out from and live with him. Remember that. And I'm going to leave you with this. As Mark and Donnie come and sing one last song. Scripture tells us that night that they sung a hymn and then they went out. So I'm going to pray. They're going to sing at the close of this song. As y'all leave, I want you to tell someone that you meet, thank you for being here today. God has blessed me. Kind Father, as we close this service in prayer and in song, as we leave, we're thankful. Not only that we share your body in the newness of life, but we share in your body as part of this church that you've brought us together today. And if one of us was missing from this service, the service wouldn't be as sweet as it's been today. I thank you for every person here, inside and in the parking lot. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Again, it's an honor and a blessing to be here with you today. And we're going to close with this song right here. How great is our God? The splendor of the kingdom, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God!
sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Now age to age he stands, and time is in his hand. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God.
Y'all to remember Miss Rhonda this week. I know it's going to be a lonely week. She's had a tough month, and as a caregiver, not only did she lose her husband, but there's just a void there from all the activities she's been doing. So y'all keep her lifted up in prayer. And also, Mike, y'all got the prayer list. I noticed they will print extra ones next week. I noticed they all got picked up this morning, it looked like. Remember, Mike, he goes for a consult in the morning, tomorrow, with the surgeon. They found a spot. It is cancerous. We're praying that the Lord takes care of that, and they're able to if whatever has to be done, that the Lord will just heal him. We're praying for that, and y'all be praying. For what time are you going tomorrow? 9:30. So in the morning, be praying at 9:30 for God's intervention into the wisdom of the surgeons and what needs to be done. And I'll pray for everyone on those prayer lists. Thank y'all for being here, and let me close in prayer. For Mike. Kind Father, we just lift Mike up to you. We've got so many on this prayer list, and Lord, as he's going in the morning for this consult, I pray, Lord, for healing. Pray that you just take this cancer away from him. Lord, if you do it miraculously, or if you do it with the through the hands of the surgeons, ever what goes on there, Lord, we just trust in you. Give him and Charlotte just the confidence in your presence with them tomorrow as you help them through this. Be with Miss Rhonda. We just lift her up to you. And Lord, as the body of Christ, let us call and check on her. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank y'all for being here.